First of all, I'd like to thank all of you who came from wherever you came from, distant places, I'm sure, especially Brother Hari Prabhu from Sri Prabhu for coming to participate in this event. When I heard Austin, Texas would be the venue, I thought, who's going to come? And for many of you, it's a work day. For the kids, it's holiday. But you took some time out to come here. Travel time yesterday, and fantastic. This is beyond my expectation. Maybe some other people will come a little bit later because they have to do other things this morning or whatever. They're traveling now or something like that. But I'm very impressed, very pleased to see the number of people here. I'll try to do my best to serve by giving some opportunity today to prepare for what we call 64 round day tomorrow. Diving more deeply into the holy name. And if this is a mini, it's not exactly a japa retreat, it's a mini. Maybe a japa workshop, or like, you know, a busy person's jump start to try to go more deeply into the holy name or something like that. But the facility is very nice. As far as a retreat is concerned, that much is there. We're in a quiet place, a little removed. At least the persons who are here aren't, you know, you're away from your home. The comfort zone is, normally you would spend a whole hour and a half, 2 hours just like preparing to enter the retreat. So that's what I'm doing now in like 3 minutes, preparing to enter into the retreat. Disconnect, ideally, minimize as far as possible stuff, you know, stuff, phone, internet, just like retreat is go away from that which is filling your mind and your thoughts and your energy and taking in so many directions. Take a break. This is what we're doing. And in that space that's created, we're here to go more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. So many things to say, but I really haven't had the time to do all that. So, taking photographs like that is really distracting. Really distracting. I'll start with the heading, Seven Wonders of Chanting. So, just a little phrase. We regard something of value differently than that which to us has no value. This whole morning session, at least my part in it, is to elevate our appreciation of the value of the holy name. And that's what the wonders of the chanting of the holy name means. The opulences, not just vibhutis, the spiritual potency, what a gift it is that we've been given. We've all heard Prabhupada say so many times, people may accept that there is God, but who is God? And the more that one can understand who God is, the more likely we're going to love God, because he's so lovable. but that he exists. That's nice. And let me count the ways. Like, I don't know, this is maybe an American thing. Speaking of the lover, speaking of the beloved. Oh, my beloved is so wonderful, let me count the ways. Like, you know, pulling petals off of a flower. Let me count the ways in which my beloved is so wonderful. My beloved is so wonderful. My beloved is so wonderful. And meditating on the qualities of the beloved increases the feeling of love for the lover. So that's what we're doing. And he's attempting to do. My wish is to assist everyone here to feel a greater love for this gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, the pure holy name chanted in such a way through his mercy that one can enter into Krishna's pastimes. Not just acknowledge God exists. I'll say the same thing in a different way. It's maybe the top five of the Swami questions that I get is, Maharaj, when will I go beyond mechanical chanting? There's so many versions of that, but that's the thing, the question. And one of the things I'm stating to you now is, if we can appreciate how wonderful, how all-attractive is the all-attractive, what are the attractivenesses of the all-attractive? It's unlimited. And the more that we can appreciate the attractiveness of the unlimited all-attractive, in the form, Nama Rupa, in the form of His holy name, we'll go beyond mechanical chanting. We'll enter into another level, another realm of associating with the holy name. Due to time limitation, there's so many nice things to say about that, so I'll only just say a couple. You know, most of you, probably all of you, at least most of you know the story of Sanatana Goswami, the touchstone. Yes? Sanatana Goswami, the touchstone. So, one Brahmin in Vrindavan heard Sanatana Goswami, the touchstone. I'm a poor Brahmin. Sanatana Goswami is very compassionate. He's very charitable. I'm very poor. So if I go and ask for charity, he's a Brahmin. And I'm a Brahmin, and he'll be charitable. I'll ask him for his touchstone. And then I won't be poor anymore. Well, he went. He loves his soul. He wants to see Sanatana who's chanting. And the Brahmin appealed in so many nice ways. You are very this, that, the other thing, kind of gifts and charity, and touchstone. And Sanatana Goswami immediately replied, yes, certainly. It's over there. Over there in the Dharma sheet, you'll find it over there. Look around this touchstone. So the man went and found the touchstone and went to his home and some iron pot, he touched the touchstone of the iron pot and it became gold. It worked. So he started touching everything metal and gold, 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 and I'm not poor anymore. And then the light went on. Wait a minute. This thing is so valuable. He kept it in the garbage heap. So he must have something more valuable. He's a Brahmin. He's, you know, put two and two together from over a fourth. And he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, do you have something more valuable than this? Oh yes. Much more valuable. Oh, Sanatana Goswami, you're very merciful, very compassionate, very charitable. Yeah, I have that. And Sanatana said, yes. On what condition? Yes, yes. Throw away the touchstone. There's the Jima River, throw the touchstone in the Jima River. He threw the touchstone in the Jima River, and he gave him the world most valuable thing. What do you think? We regard something differently when we value that something. That, like, say, a relationship. We may take relationships for granted. And we take relationships for granted, and then that, what's the saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. So you don't understand and bear in mind how much, how valuable it is to have the association of such and such person or persons. And then you behave in ways that are inappropriate, they're not respectful of that value. So, this is a whole exercise to increase our appreciation of what the Holy Name is, what a wonderful gift it is that Lord Chaitanya has given. Let me appreciate it as deeply as I can, and by appreciating it, carrying that appreciation into my heart, then my chanting will go beyond the mechanical kind. It will enter the deeper taste for the Holy Name. A couple other things, then we'll launch. One of them is Bhaktivinod Thakur. In many ways, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a wonderful example for all of us. In part, because his life, at least externally, began in a kind of ordinary way, meaning he was extremely intelligent in an aristocratic family and so on, but he had not contacted the pure form of bhakti, shuddha bhakti, that the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu until much later in his life. So he was exploring and so on, experiencing. But when he came in contact with a proper presentation of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and he left behind so many very merciful renderings of what that trajectory was like. And if we just cling to or try to assimilate those messages, it'll help us advance in Krishna consciousness. So one of the writings that he presented was Vajana Rahasya. Bhajan is the root word of bhakti, the devotional practices, where there's rahasya, there's an experience of transcendental rasa. And in the book, he describes that one of the major elements of that literature is a description of Shikshastakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his pictures here. And in those shikshas, or instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are the means of going from zero to perfection through chanting of the Holy Name. It's a map, how to get, it's a perfect GPS. You enter where you are, and you put in your destination, and calculating, and then you get the, left and right, and all the everything, just follow. But, so the last point is, follow is not just a behavior, or taking information and doing something mechanical. If we're going to be successful, we want to go beyond mechanical, or just external, making sounds, and not feeling what we know we'd like to feel, that spiritual happiness and so forth. Take these instructions and let them enter your heart. Don't listen with your academic brain, like that which we've all been through for so many years and years and years and years. Don't listen that way. try to listen with your heart, and I'll try to go slowly, but you have to listen carefully, and listen carefully from the heart. Let these messages, these are my messages, they're Mahaprabhu's instructions, shiksha. He's our principal instructor. Prabhupada is our shiksha guru for ISKCON, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shiksha is our life and soul. So, listen carefully, let the messages enter your heart, and this will hopefully help you not only tomorrow during 64 round day, but for the rest of your devotional practice, help you go more deeply into the essence of the gift of the holy name. These seven wonders are found in the first verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, Shikshastakam. And if you listen very carefully, you'll see that just in this first verse, he takes you from zero to perfection. And he didn't even get to the other seven verses. So, it's something like chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. It's contents of the Gita summarized. So this is contents of Lord Chaitanya's instructions, how to go from zero to perfection, summarized. So you have to listen carefully. And listen with your heart, not the analytical brain only. Listen with your heart. We'll chant together the first verse. Chetho darpanam arjanam bhava mahatabhati nirvapanam Shri Akhairava chandrika karanam nirvapanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Now I'm going to read the translation. There are different translations of this verse, and this is one that I grew up with as a new devotee, because it was Prabhupada's translation, and it's very sweet. I'll read. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the light of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Now, has anybody here ever made sandalwood paste? Sandalwood paste. So, you know what I'm about to describe. When you make sandalwood paste, it's described in this way. It's a metaphor to describe what we're about to do. There's a flat stone, you have some sandalwood, and little drops of water. Prabhupada explained part of the secret of making sandalwood paste is not too much water. Not too little water. Little water. And you make a circular motion, you rub the sandalwood paste. And that which is hard, the sandalwood, starts to become soft. Not only becomes soft, but something else happens. There's a fragrance. Yes? The sandalwood fragrance. And if you might even sprinkle little camphor along with the paste, and then it really fragrant. Just keep rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and the paste is to be used in service to the deity. But along with paste comes the fragrance. So similarly, these verses we've all heard so many times and so many times. So this is another one of those so many times. You just keep moving your hand on the flat stone and make the fragrance of these wonderful verses come out. The potencies within this one verse, it's an instruction, but you let the essence or the fragrance come out by very, very carefully again and again reciting and contemplating, meditating, and it will carry you. It'll transport you to Krishna's association more consciously, more directly. So, I'm going to go through these seven, because it breaks down into seven parts, and here's the first one of the seven. Chetadarpana Marjanam. We'll start with the word darpana. Darpana means mirror. And marjana means cleansing. If you look in a mirror and it's covered by dust, what do you see? Dust. You don't see yourself because that's what the purpose of the mirror is, but it's too much covered by dust. Then you can't see yourself, you can only see the dust. So imagine a mirror that's been neglected for countless numbers of years and lifetimes and decades and centuries. Imagine a mirror that has 5 miles thick dust. How much cleansing do you have to do before you can see yourself in the mirror? Lots of cleansing. Cleansing, 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 cleansing. And however long it takes, keep cleansing, because the potency is there. What Lord Chaitanya is disclosing is there's potency within the holy name to do that. And the mirror is the heart. The mirror of the heart. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Cheta is sometimes translated as consciousness. When you look at the teachings of Kapila Day in the Sankhya Yoga section, Cheta is one of those terms. So it's sometimes consciousness. But in as far as in the 24 elements, it's contaminated consciousness. It's something like the air. The air is colorless, odorless, tasteless. It's when it's pure. But you go to Los Angeles. Or, you know, I thought Los Angeles was bad, but Beijing is even worse. I was driving down riding in a car in Beijing, and I thought, how come it's so dark out? It's the middle of the day. And the devotee said, oh, that's just smog. I said, smog? It looks like, it's like dusk. It's almost becoming dark, and it's the middle of the day. There's so much smog in Beijing. And I'm visiting in Delhi some years ago. They had recently, at that time, some years ago, had done a study of the effect of pollution, automobile pollution in Delhi. And it was, the study said, if you drive a car in Delhi for 2 hours, it's equivalent to smoking a pack and a half of cigarettes. Just driving the car through the streets of Delhi and your windows open. So what to speak of rickshaw people and taxi people. They always have the window open. And, you know, they're doing it all day long. And you're a passenger and it's like, it not only smells bad, it's polluting. It's lethal. But air isn't lethal. Air is odorless, colorless, tasteless, it's pure. So, similarly, consciousness in its original state is pure. But now it's contaminated. And there's so much contamination, you can say it's dust within the air. But it's not innocent dust, it's consciousness contaminating dust. It's bewildering. There's a potency in the influence of Maya. It just steals away the capacity to see who we really are and feel real feelings and who we really are and what real happiness is and everything. It's a problem. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching here is there's potency, cleansing potency, like the commercial. Power stronger than dirt, stronger than all the 5 miles of dust on the mirror of the heart. Stronger. And with faith, understanding, especially if you understand this glory, this mahima of the holy name, chant with faith, the cleansing happens faster. Now, one of the problems with chanting happening faster is we're kind of attached to some of our contaminations. So they start to go away and you go, ouch, you know, I want that one. Even you pray, oh, my dear Lord Krishna, please take away my contaminations. My shelter's other than you. And when he does, well, we complain. So be prepared for that, because that's the effect. So the translation begins with the final line, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. And the illustration here is Gundicha, Marjana. Now, I don't know if the artist that painted this had ever been inside Gundicha, because those of us that have this kind of body can't go in Gundicha. Is that what it looks like inside? Is that what the altar looks like? Yes? So, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, along with his associates, and they're cleansing the Gundicha temple. And there's a long description of this pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preparing his heart to receive Krishna. When we cleanse the temple, we're cleansing our heart. You've heard that before, right? When you cleanse the temple, you're cleansing your heart. And we even sometimes hear, when you wash Krishna's pots, you're cleansing your heart. You heard that one? The temple commander says, or the person in charge of the Sunday feast, taps you on the shoulder and says, hey Prabhu, come on and clean your heart. And you got a lot of pots over here. You clean the pots. Prabhupada said, you clean the pots and you're cleaning your heart. And I remember hearing that thinking, wow, what a trick. They'll say anything to get me to wash the pots. It's a long story, because then again, time doesn't permit. But that was my first service for a month, was washing pots. And I got this encouragement saying, oh, you're really good at washing pots. You should wash pots for a long time. You're so good at it. And Prabhupada said, you're cleansing your heart. I did, and I was a college student, or graduate of college, and I was sarcastic and, you know, American. So in my sarcastic college brain, I was thinking, yeah, but that's what it is. The lion is standing next to me and cleansing your heart, man. Come on and join me. Let's have a heart cleansing party. Finish off the pots quickly so we can go on Sankirtan together. You guys are going on Sankirtan. I'll leave you here washing the pots. Grumble, grumble, grumble. But it's true. It's a longer story, but it's true. It was very heart purifying. Because before my service changed from washing pots to going on Sankirtan, I had to come, Krishna wanted, this is my realization, Krishna wanted me to come to the position of doing whatever it is for his pleasure. Not because I like it, not because it's comfortable for me, it fits my mode of nature, I like, Krishna likes, it's a nice dovetail, but because Krishna likes. Because Krishna likes. Give up, my dear Guru Bhakta, give up this other thing, pride, sarcasm, smart aleckness, and you know, all of that stuff. Just leave that behind. Just be a humble, simple devotee who wants to please Krishna. And it was a surrender. It was a surrender. But I, you know, sitting there for hours, said, you know, Krishna must want this of me, so let me just put my heart into it. And not just surrender, but put my heart into it. Cleanse my heart, please Krishna. Take this because Krishna wants. And even after doing that, it still took a while, and I wasn't expecting something to happen, but something happened. And I said, oh, we found a new pot washer. Caught out of Sankirtan, I was thinking, Krishna's very kind. He wanted me to cleanse my heart first. Krishna's very kind. So, chanting has that effect. It's one of the glories, the mahimas, the wonders of the holy name. Miles and miles and miles of dust on the mirror of the heart becomes cleansed. And exactly, one very long purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that each particle of dust, each grain of sand, each straw represents that was gathered by the devotees in Gundicha, represents the contaminations of heart in different ways. And then, after cleansing the temple, what happened? They cleansed it a second time. And Lord Chaitanya's accumulation of piles of dust, sand, and straw was greater than everyone else's collectively. He was really good at cleansing the heart. And cleansing the temple. And cleansing the hearts. And chanting the holy name. So at the bottom is a paraphrased translation of not word for word of Chaita Dharpana Marjana, but the essence of what it means. So the chanting of Krishna's name is a purifying agent that cleanses our hearts of envy, the root cause of our descent to this world. And other bad qualities we have since acquired, like lust, greed, and anger. So, root cause of our descent to this world is envy. Krishna says like that in Bhagavad Gita. Raga dvesha samutina dvandva mohina bharata. Is that the verse? Dvandva means duality. Mohena means bewilderment. Dvandva mohena, the duality of delusion. Overcome by the dualities of delusion, one comes to this world, and one of those dualities is dvesha, is envy. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as envious. We don't like to think of ourselves as envious, but we wouldn't take birth in the material world. We wouldn't get one of these things, a material body, if we weren't envious of Krishna. It's embarrassing. Prabhupada once described it like a flag. You know, at the top of some building or something is a flag that shows, you know, this is the flag of whatever. This, like, you know, the chariot. This is the flag of King Dasarath. Because it has a particular emblem on the flag. Or Arjuna's. What was that Arjuna's flag? Hanuman. This is the chariot of Arjuna. So, this is our flag. I'm envious of Krishna flag. Embarrassing. But it's a fact. We need to acknowledge the fact that it is. And overcome by the duality of envy of Krishna and desiring the position of Krishna, that position of enjoyer, we take birth in this world. It's the root cause of our material condition. The chanting of the holy name removes that. Ta-da! It's a great commercial. Stronger than dirt. Stronger than envy is the holy name. So, a nice illustration of this, I'll take a little bit of time, just story time, or Srimad Bhagavatam narration, is the example of Daksha, Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha had an envy problem. I mean, more than most people that get a mature body, he had a big time envy problem. Prajapati Daksha was one of 10 brothers who were direct sons of Lord Brahma. Just going back, it's important to appreciate, we need to understand the nature of his envy. So, the firstborn living being in the universe is Lord Brahma. And the first praja of Lord Brahma, the four kumaras. Lord Brahma requested the four kumaras, please assist me. In my service, I created this nice universe, and now I need good population to populate the universe. And their reply was, no, thank you. We wanted to meet Brahmachari. So Lord Brahma became unhappy with that response and became a little angry, and from his brow came Rudra, anger. And Rudra expanded into 10 different forms and was making havoc all over this nice new creation. And Lord Brahma said, just sit down and meditate, please. Your job of destroying things will come later. And the following those four came to 10. Well, actually came the first Manu, Swayambhuva Manu and Chaturupa, and then the 10. So there's 10 sages that had the purpose of their being produced by Lord Brahma. One of the purposes was to assist in creating praja. So we're to create good population within this nice new universe. And Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pavascha, Pulaha, Krato, Riku, Vishishta. Daksha was number 9 and Narada was number 10. So they were born from different parts of the body of Lord Brahma, his thumb, his mind, his heart, different parts of his body. Daksha was born from his thumb. And then Daksha was given as a wife by Lord Brahma, given as a wife to marry one of the three daughters of Swayambhuva Manu. Swami Guhamala had two sons and three daughters. The two sons were